So we have two more full days of practice. Today and tomorrow, and then Sunday is our closing morning. And for these last two full days of practice, we'd like to offer the opportunity to expand the practice of awareness into new terrain. And that is the terrain of speaking. So those of you who have been on these retreats with me before, or with Alexis, may be aware that this happens in the last few days of the retreat. But some of you, this may be new, landing for the first time. And so just notice, well, for everyone, notice how does it feel, what's happening, having heard those words. So the words are sounds, they hit the ear. Meaning is constructed in the mind, and then there can be a feeling response to that. So just notice that. How does it feel to contemplate this possibility? This is the first. This is where mindfulness of speaking begins. We think about speaking and it impacts us. Essentially, this is the work with mindful speech, is to be aware of content, both that you are going to say and speaking, being aware of the content and how that content impacts us, being aware of listening, knowing the content of listening and how that content impacts us. So this is our exploration today, and we have a lot of momentum built up. The mindfulness for all of you has gained momentum. And it is in the gaining of the momentum of mindfulness that there's more of a possibility for being able to be aware of the natural functions of our hearts and minds. Speaking, listening are natural functions. Much easier to be aware of those natural functions when mindfulness has momentum. If we're trying to kind of toggle back and forth, remember to be aware while we're listening, we're kind of missing the content and missing the conversation. And so the momentum of mindfulness supports this possibility. And so the first thing I want to say is this kind of talking opportunity we're offering today is not a general talking, like it would be at the end of retreat, where you just just meet somebody and just start chatting about where do you live and what do you do and that kind of thing. It's not the general end of retreat talking. This is a conscious practice that we're offering here, a conscious practice opportunity, and yet it's not as conscious as we're going to sit in the hall and have dyads either. So what we're going to offer is some specific times and places where you can choose various times of the day to go and see if somebody else is also interested at that time and have a mindful conversation. So a couple of more general pieces about this. So since we're offering it in a way that I would suggest that as you do this, that you may explore a conversation with somebody for maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then come back into the hall and sit and see how was that. There's a good possibility that you'll lose mindfulness while you're talking and listening, or that it will really be coming in and out. And so coming back into the hall, how was that? You will probably notice that having had a conversation, when you come back into the hall to sit, that there's a different experience, perhaps more energy in the system. This is natural. This is nature. We're not trying to stop that. We're trying to recognize, oh, this is what having had a conversation feels like. One of the great benefits that including talking practice on retreat offers is the cultivation and beginning of really recognizing how flexible the mind can be. The word often used in the commentaries is malleability of mind. The mind can shift between very different experiences actually very quickly. And so we can have a conversation and be mindful, aware of that to greater or lesser extent. We can come back into sitting and notice the energy of that. And if we're simply recognizing, oh, this is the nature of having had a conversation, very likely, or what I've noticed in my own experience of this, particularly at Shui Yu Min, where talking was allowed from day one. You know, you have a conversation after breakfast, and then you go sit. And then maybe a walk and talk with somebody at some point, talking about the Dharma, and then you go sit. And what I discovered is that as the mind let go of the idea that talking was somehow inherently a problem or that talking was too agitating for the mind, and I used to have that belief. There were a couple times on long retreats where I had to have a conversation with somebody. One particular retreat, a yogi in the meditation hall had fallen down and couldn't walk, and so I needed to go into the staff dining room at IMS and let them know. And this happened to be Halloween, and so I walked into the staff dining room and they were having a party. I felt like I was just exploded and blown back out of the room. But, you know, somebody saw me, followed me out of the room, and I had this brief conversation with them about this person in the hall needing help. And then I went back to my room and sat. And yet, I didn't have this understanding of, oh, this is just what it's like to feel having been talking, and wow, this is nature. Instead, I was thinking, I had to talk. Why did I have to talk? This is a major problem. It's going to take me 3 days to get back to where I was before. Okay. All right, breath. Breath. Oh, why did that have to happen? And it wasn't so much the conversation, but the repeat of the conversation and the idea that it was a problem and the conversation in my mind that was making it take so long to settle. And so when I, at Shui Yu Min, saw, oh, you know, this is the nature of a mind that has been in conversation, what I discovered is that very quickly the mind, it's just like I was being aware of energy in the system with the conversation. I was aware of the settling of that energy after the conversation. And within a very few minutes, the mindfulness was again in a very, or actually had been in a fairly effortless mindfulness the whole time. And it's just like the objects changed. Sometimes when there's a lot of energy in the system, actually it can be very easy to be mindful because it's so obvious. So the momentum of mindfulness can continue, and then that object, that obvious object of the energy, begins to settle, and then there's just the momentum of mindfulness, knowing what's next, what's next, what's next. And so letting go of the idea that having a conversation is somehow inherently going to destroy your concentration, it doesn't. It doesn't inherently. So a few tips for exploring this talking practice. And then we'll offer the guidelines for how we're going to do this in this community, what we're going to create as a community, and how we're going to keep it, encourage it in the form of practice. So first a few tips. And I actually have a little handout for you, if you like, that I'll put down on the table by the Kuan Yin. It's 7 tips that I wrote up that I found helpful for being mindful while talking. And so you can pick one of those up if you would find that useful. I'm going to go through a few of those now, but not all of them. So the first thing that I recognized was challenging for me when I started talking was I was trying to be mindful of everything that I could be mindful of when I was sitting. And so it's kind of like, well, how can I be mindful of all the body sensations and the intentions and the feelings? And this was way too complicated for me. Was I was just starting to actually just learn to be mindful of this new experience, this new object. And so at some point after several days at Shui Yu Min, trying to have conversations and be mindful and getting completely lost and coming back afterwards and recognizing, wow, that was just 20 minutes of non-mindfulness. I recognized keeping it simpler was helpful. And so the first thing I encourage you is just, if you can just know you're talking while you're talking, that's good enough. And that's not too hard, actually. You know, you just be aware you're talking while you're talking. That's the first step. Some supports for that are a couple of kind of logistical or maybe practical things. Helpful to allow the pace of conversation to slow down. If you notice that you're talking rapidly, and just maybe consciously slowing down your speed of your conversation, allowing pauses after you've spoken, between the other person speaking and your speaking. So giving there to be space between your own sentences and between what other people, the other person says, and when you speak. So just let the pace of the conversation slow down. And then also keep track of your energy. Sometimes as we start to speak, either anxiety can come up, and you may kind of notice this, just kind of almost like like a first date or something. You know, it feels like Dharma dating here. So you may notice some anxiety that raises the energy, and so just noticing the energy level, or you may notice some excitement, and so just noticing if the energy is high, and whether that is expressed either physically or verbally. So sometimes we can notice a raised energy, and if we're doing a lot of gesturing or a lot of body movements, maybe we can let the energy be there, but see if you cannot reinforce it through physical movements. You know, often energy expresses itself, you know, like through fidgeting or, you know, shaking a body, shaking the leg. And so just notice if that's happening and see if you can. It's not about repressing the energy, but it's almost like allow the energy to be there and see if it cannot leak out of your body. So let it fully express, almost like let it evaporate off your body, this energy, without seeing if you can explore not letting it impact the physical movement. The other thing is sometimes elevated energy, the tone of voice or the volume of the voice can go up. And so letting the volume of your voice come down. So those are some practical things, the physical containment of energy and keeping the volume of your voice a little lower. Those can support you in knowing that you're talking while you're talking. Then another very kind of basic thing that once you can become aware that you're talking while you're talking, the next kind of level down for me was just simply recognizing, do I feel agitated or easeful while I'm talking? So that simple kind of recognition of the emotional impact, not necessarily trying to go to, well, this person is talking about this topic, you know, this is the, you know, am I feeling lonely or angry or confused, or it's just like agitated or easeful. keep it really simple in terms of beginning to touch into the emotional tone of what's happening. So just keep that simple. And then strongly encourage the content of the conversation to be Dharma. In fact, your first few conversations might be around, what is it like to be mindful while talking? Because if you're talking about being mindful while talking, you're more likely to be mindful while talking. The content of the conversation can support them remembering to be mindful. So keep the conversations about Dharma. It might be simple, something interesting you've noticed in your sitting, or just a topic that you found interesting in the talk, if you don't feel comfortable talking about your own experience. So you don't have to be self-revealing here if it doesn't feel comfortable for you. And also, I will say, this practice of talking is entirely optional. You do not have to do this if this is not a feeling resonant for you. It's optional. So you don't have to make yourself do this. So I'm seeing we only have 5 minutes, so I want to move from the tips to how we're going to do this, describe how this is going to happen. So today, the weather report says there's a big storm coming in. So it's likely to be pouring rain for the vast majority of the day. Typically, when we do this retreat, it's the summer and it's not raining, and we restrict the talking to outdoors entirely. So what I will describe that part now, because that's tomorrow, it's supposed to be beautiful, and we'll do this tomorrow. And as long as it's not raining, you're welcome to do this also. So if it's not raining, if it's nice outside, the meetup place, if you want to have a conversation, is the island in the center of the driveway. And this is an accept what's offered kind of practice. You go there, if somebody else is there, that's your person. Just have the conversation with that person. If you go there and somebody else is already having a conversation, I'd keep this with dyads. I wouldn't join in a conversation that's already happening. So keep it with just two people in a conversation. So that's the meetup place. Sometimes, I mean, the way this works is we're going to have long chunks of the day with which to practice this. When you're talking outside, this practice is available from 9:30 in the morning until 5:30 in the evening. And so there'll be different rhythms for people. You know, when do I want to go and practice talking? And so sometimes you may go to the island and have to wait, you know, 10 minutes or so before somebody else shows up. And so just do some sitting or walking there at the island and just practice with the feelings that you're feeling there. When you find a partner, then the outdoor locations for talking are the orchard, which is on that side of the building where the walking paths are, the orchard trees. There's a bunch of little benches and chairs down there, so you can take other chairs down there if all the chairs are taken. I'd recommend an umbrella today. and so that's a location for talking. And then also up to the garbage bins on this side of the property from where the gate is. There's some nice trees over there and some spaces to sit off the driveway on that side of the property. So the orchard on that side of the property and the front of the driveway, that's where you can go to have your conversations outside anytime between 8:30 in the morning, 9:30 in the morning, and 5:30 in the evening. Given that it's supposed to be pouring rain, we've come up with some structure for allowing some indoor speaking. I mean, so that just to reinforce, like, no talking anywhere else on the property outside of this one other area that I'm going to describe. So no talking in the woods, on the paths, anywhere else in the building. So it's really contained, the location for talking. And so this way, the center can really remain in silence and you can feel the shift between talking and not talking. So for today, given that it's supposed to be raining, what we have come up with is that we will allow talking in the dining room. And what we will do is we will close the dining room doors so that it will be contained to the dining room. And we will have very specific times of day for this because of the needs of the kitchen and the needs of yogi jobs. And so between 9:30 and noon today, the dining room will be available for conversations. The dining room doors will be closed. Go into the dining room through the other doors. There's two doors, one from the back deck where the outdoor tables are, one from the front deck by the refrigerator. Use those doors for entering and exiting the dining room. You're welcome to move some of the chairs to the serving table area, so there's a few more. You can spread out a little bit in the dining room. That will be the meetup place for the indoor talking. So go into the dining room. If there's another person sitting solo, that's your person to talk to. If there are other pairs in the dining room, again, not to join in another pair already. Again, you may need to sit and wait for somebody else to show up. So just sit there quietly and notice what it's like to be listening if there are other people talking. Really encourage low volume in the dining room. Really, that may help you to remember the low volume to be in the dining room. So Chris, as kitchen mentor, will be responsible for the doors in the dining room. So she will close the doors when we go down this morning. That will signal that the room is available for talking practice. And then when the kitchen needs to start setting up for the lunch meal, she'll either come out and say something, she'll ring a bell. I think Chris probably will just go out and say something. Time to end this talking period now so that you can clear out or stop the speaking, and then the table can be set for the meal. That'll probably be about noon. Then the doors to the dining room will be opened, which is the sign that the dining room is in silence. So doors closed, dining room is speaking area, doors open, it's in silence. And then the afternoon is a little problematic for creating conditions for talking in the dining room because there are several yogi jobs happening, in particular floor washing and things like that. And then we have the Dharma talk in the afternoon. And so what we've decided for this evening, to have two good chunks of time, is that we will also have talking in the dining room between 6:45 and 9 p.m. tonight. So there'll be a morning period and an evening period available. And again, after the yogi jobs are done, we'll close the doors to the dining room, and then at 9 o'clock, or a little before 9, so when we hear the bell for the evening sit at 9 o'clock, that's when we can go back into silence in the dining room. And the doors will open again at that point. This is just for today. Tomorrow it's supposed to be beautiful outside again. So I hope that's clear, because there aren't time for questions, unfortunately. You can write us questions if you have questions about this. One announcement: we need a substitute bell ringer for the lunch bell, the 12:10, to walk around the building, walk around the outside and inside of the building, ringing the bell for lunch. Thank you.
Okay. Just today.
Just for today. Yeah. Patty will do that. Okay. So I would actually recommend, unless you have a yogi job right now, and this is another thing I'll remind you about, given the addition of talking, it can be really easy to forget your yogi jobs if you're talking. So please, if you go into a talking time around the time of your yogi job, keep track of the time. And if you don't have a yogi job right now, I'd actually encourage you to just sit for a few minutes more and see how are you having this possibility. Just kind of recognize the impact that this has had on you. So we have our final group of day of groups this morning, and my second group is at 2:30 this afternoon.